Father Neil Darrow was supposed to stay this homily, but I'm afraid he's been trapped in Auckland. So the bishop has asked me to fill in. Frank had a favourite prayer. It's one he used when he got up in the morning before he said his divine office, before Mass, and before he went to sleep at night. It was an old Benedict prayer, and he changed the words of it to suit his mentality. Let's pray it together. Give praise to God the Creator, to the Son Jesus Christ the Lord, to the Spirit who dwells in our hearts. Frank loved the Psalms. His favourite Psalms were 113 and 117. The Mass was centre to his day. In it he relived his redemption, his friendship with God, and received him into his heart. It was that great stepping stone, daily stepping stone, on his journey to his Creator. Frank never appeared very holy, and yet deep down he had a wonderful spirituality. Very real, very sincere. Frank was a very private person. He had many friends, different organisations he belonged to, the wine club at Lincoln, table tennis, a whole variety of different interests he had, especially harness racing. Didn't do much betting or drink much, but they were the things he was involved in. He had many different friends, and yet he kept them in departments. He didn't actually, you weren't aware of these things. He was very direct in what he said. You didn't get what you'd like to hear sometimes, you got what he really believed in. He was quite perceptive, often able to read people very well, and he was quite a wise, intelligent person. I know it just for the last few days at the hospital, he bought 4 new books. One of them was in Celtic spirituality, and that was one of his great loves, coming from people, parents born in Ireland, something he retained throughout his life. The other book was on the scripture, and that was one of his great loves, especially the New Testament and Paul. He always sought to find out who Jesus was for his own personal love of him. The book he had was on how the fathers understood the scriptures. He had a famous pair of rosary beads. He did have a tremendous devotion to the Mother of God. And they're with him now, actually. They were made from the same rock that his mother came from in Ireland. And they were very close to him. When he was in hospital, he lost them. And that famous grumpy face came out, and he was quite upset for about 3 days, and we hunted everywhere for him. Couldn't be found. And eventually they turned up in a shopping bag. Frank would go shopping in those days, and then he'd go to a park and sit down. And he got these rosary beads and he inspected them, made sure they're all there. And then he said to me, "You can go now." And I thought he's having me on. But he said, "Oh, no, I'll see you in a few days." And it wasn't until I got out to the car that I realised, I think he wanted to see whether they still worked. He's got those rosy beads now, and yesterday one of the family said, don't try and take those beads off and you'll probably wake up. So they're with him, and they'll always be part of who he was, and they're very precious to him. Frank believed that every person had the centre, in their centre had God. And that was his motivation for his work in the prisons. That was the way he dealt with people who were very poor, people who needed the Beatitudes. He used to give out hot pies to those people outside supermarkets sitting down. And I remember one fellow said to him, Frank said, do you want a pie? And he said, I'd rather have the money. And Frank said, I only give out pies. He had those hidden ways of living and acting out his faith that were very, very genuine, quite secret, but I'm sure very pleasing to that God in heaven. He'll be sadly missed by the priests of this diocese, by all those people he's helped through many, many years as a priest. His first Mass, of course, was in Latin, and he experienced the turmoil of the Vatican Council. So he goes right back into the history of these times. The family will miss him, because he's part of you. He's part of your Celtic background, and you were very precious to him. We don't know where he is now. We don't know what he's thinking. The Lord hasn't revealed those things. And yet, with our human, inaccurate imagination, we can see him in heaven, being embraced by his mother and father, tears pouring down the face of his mother, those two Irish people so proud of what he had achieved. And we can see him talking to his two brothers, who are also in heaven. And it would be a place of peace and laughter, and perhaps red wine and a little bit of whiskey. And the Lord would be saying to him, well done, my friend. You are my servant priest. You served me well. Your journey's over. You are now home. And I could imagine Frank replying to that Lord of all things, the Master of Heaven, give praise to God the Creator, to the Son Jesus Christ the Lord, and to the Spirit who dwells in our hearts.